Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
I know you said it, girl.
Jimmy
Jam. Yeah.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate. We give, showing others how to live. We care, share, we love all through the land.
Well, good evening and good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening in from. You're waking up with Linda Mac Chan, and today we have our wonderful Karen Bird, life coach, that's going to be with us today. We're going to be speaking on the value of time. You know, awareness. When we are aware that each moment of each day, each gesture and step we take is truly mystical and full of wonder, we will live our lives with greater thought and care. We will also have greater respect and appreciation for the lives of others. And this lady is going to come on with us. Get your pencils and pads out because she has something to tell you. But before we get going, let me give you some thought here. I'm going to let you know what it's all about. Welcome in.
You come to me, give me everything.
That's right. Professor Karen Berg is with us this morning. Professor Berg, how are you? Now, before we bring her in, I call her my professor. I met her in the classroom, but she is the professor for life, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we have to have someone that can see, tell us what they see, and tell us how to do it and give us great thought. And that is Professor Karen Berg, life coach. Good evening. How are you?
Hi, Miss Linda. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello, hello, hello.
Okay.
We're cross country all
hello.
The way from Arkansas. Come on in.
Oh, thank you. It's good to hear your voice. And thank you for that Tina Turner song. You are simply the best. And today we're gonna follow up on, yeah, it's been a while since we've talked that we did our 45 minutes to an hour this way, where you just kind of let me riff and think and share my thoughts. And I do a little bit of prep, but a lot of times I just have a general direction and then you jump in and we feel things, we share with each other. We hit on new insights, and we hope that if you have the patience as a listener to go on this long talk, because this is a long podcast, but that this exploration that we do, that is sort of freestyle with some direction, will actually turn up some insights or maybe hit on some really good ideas for you or some takeaways. And so, Linda, today what I'm looking at, you were talking about how I see, and that's what I try to do is look out there, or as I'm doing as a life coach, is KarenBerg.com, is that I am doing a lot of inner work, and by looking inside and doing this inner work and doing this through my own life, as I learn and gain insights, I'm hoping that I can share those with others. And that's true, like you said, teachers teach, but what they do more than teach is that they learn so that they can try to help others learn. And so one of the things we're talking about today, and this again is from my own perspective, is through my lens as a helper, a teacher slash helper type. And I'm hoping that everyone listening, and I'm not an expert, I'm just sharing this from my perspective, but the topic today is really from the lens of how to value your time when you are a helper type. And when I say that, I also mean that when you are a helper type, and this is the psychology of it, you may have recognized and are trying to stop your tendencies of overhelping, or let's even call it the psychology term codependency. So I had to pick a short topic title for today, so we're calling it Valuing Your Time. But in truth, it could have had a much longer and more complex title that would go something like, quote, how to love and be interdependent with another person without becoming or acting codependent, close quote. So here we go. So fasten your seatbelt. So I want to start by saying, yeah, get ready. As a life coach, in that role, I have been able to help some people, and clients have shared ways that I've helped them get unstuck, or I may have helped them have an aha moment or some other breakthrough that they value just by listening, asking reflective questions, in other words, self-reflection questions, and being fully present for them while they experience their own thought processes during a dedicated hour that we both carve out of our lives to do just that. So in other words, they speak, I listen. I might ask a question, they speak, I speak, they ask a question. This exchange that a life coach has is just someone pays you to be present with them and offer you their own life experience and perhaps their way of thinking. And that what that means is that my orientation and the reason I've gravitated towards the type of career that I have is that I am trying to help other people. And I think that I may know a way to help, or I might have the time. And also, like, there's also this implicit sort of agreement that is being made that they believe I can help them. Okay, so that's the paradigm, first of all, is when you're a helper, you get paid to be a helper, the other person seeks you out, they pay you, they believe you can help them, and you spend that time together dedicated to focusing on them. Okay, but what happens when you have been doing that as a career and suddenly in your own personal life, and there, I'm probably, again, talking to other helpers, people in helping professions like me, is what happens when you're trying to help others and that trying hurts? So let's call this section, when trying to help hurts.
Mm.
Okay, so let's talk about the helper type. If you're the helper type, as many of us are, you may look like this. You are articulate, you're well-educated or studied, you're a thoughtful person, you're caring, and you have good intentions. Sometimes your most generous and heartfelt expression of time is giving freely to others from your heart or from your life's well or wellspring of knowledge and experiences. But what happens when your helper type hurts others or hurts you? Okay, so let's first talk about trying to help another person who may see your help as unhelpful. So first of all, if you're not in a paid relationship, let's say it's a friend or a loved one or your boyfriend or girlfriend or, you know, your loved one. So if you're trying to help that other person, that may be perceived as an intrusion. Or your help can be perceived as, quote, controlling. Or some will say that your helping is simply a distraction tactic for you to avoid your own need to focus on yourself. So far, does any of this sound familiar? Have you ever heard any of this, or is this just my life?
Totally. Yes, I'm loving every minute of it. Please continue.
Okay. So my question, my relationship, my most recent one, you know, my boyfriend that's made me so happy over the past 2 years, he broke up with me recently. So part of the reason that I'm sort of doing this self-reflection now is that I understand that I tried to help too much, and he has basically shut the door and said, I don't want your help. Okay. So that's why I'm exploring this, okay, is that – now my question is this. How does something that you think is a gift of your time, knowledge, experience, your love, yourself, basically turn into something that is seen as not only unwanted and unhelpful, but could perhaps even choke the life out of your relationship with that person and can be harmful to you? Now, I know there are probably people listening who are parents who have relationships like that with their children, where the parent is trying to help, and the child is saying, go away, I don't want your help. Or like it's a lover, you know, saying, I just want to help you. And the other half of the lover equation saying, you're not helping, you're hurting. So that's what we're talking about. So I guess the first step and what trying to shed some light on is this. The first thing you need to do if you're a helper and you've been told that your helping hurts is to step back a little bit and be clear about the relationship terms. Okay, so back to the idea that someone like me who's a coach who gets paid, or let's say it's a nurse who gets paid to do their profession, when you do that and provide that service, it is literally a professional contract. It's a two-way agreement. If you're a coach, you have a client who pays you. If you're a nurse, you have a patient who is paying the hospital or the clinic for your help, or a doctor or whatever. But the client or the patient has invited you into their realm, open to your help. And in the case of coaching, a life coaching client is open to your insights, questions, life experiences. But what happens when we, helpers and coaches in the world, try to help a loved one, a family member, a friend, our lover, or a child? So some, let's just say friends, some friends invite us in. I have a lot of girlfriends who invite me in. We, the girlfriends, will sit and talk, and we have an open and free exchange, and they're inviting me to give insight and support and experience, and I'm inviting them to look into my life and my problems and give insight and experience and support. And when that happens, when it's a mutual agreement, not a paid transaction, but a mutual agreement between two caring adults and knowledgeable people who've lived life experience, there can be a profound support and appreciation to one another. But sometimes the hardest thing to do with friends or lovers is to not offer your perspective when you think you can help. And you, let's say it's especially hard when you see that loved one suffering. So do any of these sound familiar? Let's run this by our listeners. Do these sound familiar? I don't want your help. I don't want your help. I don't need you. I am not a project. How about this one? You do you, and I'll do me. And how about this one? Leave me alone. Or, this may sound like a petulant teenager, stop trying to help. You're just making it worse. Or this one. Or this one. You just don't understand. Or you don't get me. Or you're not listening. Okay. So when you get these cues, many times our fellow human beings just want to be heard, just want to be listened to, and just want to be loved in the mess. You can love people, but you can't fix them. You may also be misguided in your belief that you can grow with someone by offering to be their partner or aiding in some mutual growth. So let me unpack this a little bit. What I'm talking about now is more like a love relationship. Again, back to my boyfriend who didn't want to grow with me, or at least not in the way that I was offering to help. So something like this. I believe I was misguided, or I just didn't hear him really well enough. But so let's say the premise of entering into an agreement like that looks like this. If you're in a relationship with a loved one and you think that your partner may want to grow along with you, you think it looks like this. You think the person on the other side has to want to grow. Number one, the person on the other side has to want to grow. Number two, that person has to see their area of need, or see their need for growth as an area of need, right? Three, that person has to ask for and believe that you can help. Okay, so that's one set of ideas. Any reactions to that?
A lot of reactions to that. I'm listening here, and one thing that you hit on, Professor Bird, is that you can't fix it, and you cannot fix them. So I'm going to interject in there and say, no, you cannot do that. But because of philosophies and beliefs and what gets me through, I believe when you change, it will change. And that it is encompassing all things and all people, okay? So you're trying to grow. You know that this individual has a need. They've expressed that they have a need. You're dialoguing about it, but yet it's like it flips back on you that you're what helped
that's exactly
me, I realized that when you change, that means when you change your ways, your thoughts, your relationship, whatever the change is,
that's right.
Then it will change.
Right.
And it will change and
that's
go
right.
to the way that it has to go. But I'm relating to
that's
you
right.
all the way here
that's
because,
right. because,
you know.
That's
yes.
right. We're in sync like we always are because you cannot control the other person, but you can control yourself and you can change, and then that creates a reaction that will be different.
Yeah.
So let's flip it. Imagine, and this is me talking to myself, imagine you are the person who's stuck. Number one, you may not be aware that you need to grow. Number two,
okay.
you may think you you may think you don't need to grow. And number three, you may also, for unconscious and or emotional reasons, not be interested in risking what it might take to grow. Or you may even take steps to preserve your status quo. Okay, I'm just trying that on. So let's say I'm the one who needs to change, but I keep bumping my head against the same relationship problems. And I know that I'm not doing something right because I keep chasing these people away. Good people, lovely people, people you want to love, people you want to grow with. And, you know, and I'm saying I did get cues in this relationship, and this particular man was very good at saying, stop, I don't need that, you focus on that, I'll do this. Very good at establishing those emotional boundaries in a lot of ways. Now, it turns out one of the things that blew up the relationship is that the problem he was facing was much bigger than I knew and much harder for him to work on than I realized. And so I needed to back off and just let him deal with it. So we really just kind of mutually broke up. But ultimately he got angry and said, you just got to stop trying to help, right? So here's the conclusion of where we went with that. So my lesson for this is, let the other person do their own work their way. So if you're a helper, you're a helper person, what you need to learn when somebody says stop or I don't need your help or you don't understand me or blah, blah, blah. And this is psychology 101. I mean, I'm not a therapist, but if you've ever been in therapy or if you've known a good counselor, you know that they will tell you, the person needs to be the expert of their own life and own it. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to step back and let them care more about their life and their problem than you care about it. And also, you have to be able to trust them and believe them when they say, oh, I see my problem, and now I see the steps to my solutions. Okay, just because you think you know and you think you see the steps and the solutions and you want to offer the way, the trusted way or the professional way or the thing that you've learned so hard, you studied and learned so hard, just because you think you know, you still have to step back and let that person say, I see my problem and I know what the steps are. So if you're a helper type, back up a little bit. You can't care more about somebody else's problem or need for growth than they do. And it's important to remember that, to resist the urge to jump in to help. So these lessons that I'm talking about are, of course, tied to our need as human beings to set healthy boundaries. So this is really about setting boundaries. And that's why I said when I started the idea of valuing your time, it's really more about setting healthy boundaries. So when someone says, you do you and I'll do me, honor that. When someone says, stop, I don't need your help, you stop. When someone says, and this is hard for those of us that think we're smarter than everybody else in the room, when someone says, I don't believe you can help me, then you have to take your smart little self who studied and put in the time and done the work and think that you've got something special. You can't see this as rejection, but you just have to believe them and move on.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And I guess finally, you can't coach your friends unless they invite you to, and your time on the planet is valuable. So it's very hard for helper types to remember this and to be able to not only guard their time, but to guard their hearts. So any thoughts on that? And then I do have kind of a very short list, and it looks like I'm going to be short on time today too, because I didn't take this thought very far. I think I'm getting close to the end. So any ideas or responses?
Well, you know, I'm listening to you. So, you know, the things that you say, Professor Bird, you know, you can't fix it, and they have to, and let them do them, is so true. Because when you run into situations like that or persons like that, see, people must take responsibility for whatever. Whatever's going on out there, they must take responsibility for it, just as you must take responsibility. So you're a helpful person. Are you there? You see things. You discuss things. Or they might even ask you, what do you think? But then when you give them a list of it, it gets insulting to them because, see, you're putting it right in their face. And then they'll switch you up and say, well, if I had asked for your help, if I had wanted, I would ask for it. Well, you know, that's the person that's still deluged and blind because you asked for it. That's why I gave you the list. So as a helpful person or a person who actually cares, it can be hurtful, but you're absolutely correct. You have to know when to pull back because you're festering in that and you're trying to figure out what some persons do, why this, why that. I have experienced that a lot because I'm a helpful person, but I've also learned how to step in and assess the arena, if you understand what I'm talking about. That means observe, listen. Look at various scenarios. So if I'll give you an example. If you are blasting out there that you're doing this and you're doing that and it looks all good on paper and something happens and it might be something crucial and you don't move with urgency to take care of that, then that puts me in another mindset. Because, and not saying that you know everything, but as from a human element, if it's something that needs to be taken care of quickly, you and I will take care of it quickly because we know how it can fester or where it can go. But a lot of individuals don't see that. So you step back. You step back. You keep assessing. But while you're stepping back, you're also looking at yourself. Yeah. You're looking at you, okay, this is my time I'm putting out here. This is my effort I'm putting out here. Time is valuable, okay, no matter what it is.
That's right.
It's valuable.
That's
so,
right.
And
that's right.
I'm going to continue to try to, I won't say teach, continue to try to open up an individual. I love dialogue. So when I'm in a situation, I have learned to say, I put it all the way back on the individual. Okay, is this the direction you're taking? Yes, I want to do this, and I want, okay, fine. So let me give you another way to look at it or give them an example. But yet, at the end of that example, go back and say you're driving your own boat. You can take it anywhere you want to take it. See, I'm speaking, I'm trying to share, but then I'm picking up on you. And I'll pull back, but I'm going to still be there for you. But you cannot, when people talk and listen, and you're a life coach, so you do this all the time. I'm not a life coach. And I look at it one or two ways. You want my help or you trying to drain my energy? And then when it comes to drain my energy, and that's unhealthy to me. So I have no problem with stepping back and creating those healthy boundaries out there. But dialogue is the most important. And some people, they want to cry, but they don't want to dry up the tears, shall I say. So when those persons, and you're seeing things and you're there, and I'm a helpful person, but I've learned how to help myself first, okay? And if I see that it's going to be an unhealthy situation, I know how to back up. With a smile,
right?
But understand, you must assess the arena. So when you say you cannot fix them, that's right. But my belief is when you change, no matter what the change is, I don't say they or them, I say it changes. The whole situation changes, but the change is on you. Like you saying, I'm helpful, it can be hurtful. So when you go in with that type of attitude, it might sting for a minute, but not too long, because you're going to shift out of that. You're going to back up. You're going to still be there if that person calls on you, but you're not going to give them too much advice. They're going to have to figure it out. They must take responsibility for whatever they're
doing. Well, that's right. Well, that's right, and that's when it gets really difficult in a love relationship, because when you step back because you're setting healthy boundaries, the other person may receive that as rejection and then shut the door. Like, they put up their walls and the whole relationship stops. So,
well, that means
they rejected themselves. That means
they
what?
They rejected themselves. They have rejected themselves.
That's how we see it. That's honey, sweet girl. That's how we see it, because we believe our time on the planet is all about growth and connecting and sharing and caring, like we're doing across the state, because we want to help our fellow human beings and grow together and learn together. And you and I are that way, but I am puzzled, and I feel like I hit a hard wall when I enter into a relationship with someone that I feel like doesn't want to have that dialogue. In fact, I was even told, you think too much, and you're too intense.
Of course.
Okay. So,
of course.
So that hurts, because I think I'm just being me. And, you know, and I think dialogue is helpful, and I get feedback too about myself and what I need to do to grow. And I mean, in fact, like I said, I'm owning it. My whole take on this podcast today is I basically choked the life out of that relationship because I kept wanting to understand the why. And then when the why was given to me, it was just too big of a problem for me. So when I now understand why that and cannot enter into a full relationship with me or has just a whole lot more to, I don't want to say overcome, but just a whole lot more to understand and to change in order for us to be partners, and vice versa. I need to change if I ever wanted to be with him. I can't always be trying to fix or help or dialogue when he doesn't want to talk. So it could just be that we were mismatched. We had a great time. We were traveling together. We were having what I call them my traveling companions. You know, a TC is a traveling companion. But what I am seeking in my love relationship after my divorce of 8 years ago is I'm looking for an ultimate traveling companion. And I don't know who that is. I don't know who could put up with my intensity and my Jimmy, my ex-boyfriend, was calling it boozing. I don't know who can put up with my boozing all the time, because my boozing is about me being in my head and, you know, wanting to – it's my brain work on overtime, and I do tend to overthink things, but I think it's important while I'm alive to fully explore my humanness, and that's why I'm interested in people and the way people think and behave and act. And I'm not a professional or trained psychologist, but you know, it's taking, you know, there are plenty of life coaches like me who are using their intellect and their heart and their life to offer to help other people for a time, and that can be really precious, and that can be really helpful. But where I get in trouble, and this is because I wear lots of hats, and you know I wear lots of hats, I've been a teacher, a professor. I've been, I am trying to be a life coach. And I have been and can be a friend. And I have been and can be a lover and a life partner. Yeah. But when you wear all those different hats, the boundaries discussion is about how learning to stop yourself from giving all the full parts of yourself. When you're wearing all these different hats, you have to stop yourself from crossing over into those other roles when it's not the right place or the right time or it isn't welcome. And so, you know, I'm not saying that I always just run around in this relationship saying, well, you need to, or have you thought about, or maybe you're looking at it the wrong way. You know, I didn't always do that, but there were very specifically times when he would say, I just want you to listen. And I would say, okay, I'm going to just listen. Or there would be times when, you know, we were getting better at that actually before he shut everything down, but he was learning to ask better and communicate when he had a need, and I was learning to hold back and not do my usual inclination and learn to be a better friend or just be a better listener without trying to be a helper. And so, and this is, by the way, this I think is also probably a gender thing because, again, I mentioned my girlfriends and I, women gather and exchange freely and not feel threatened. They can have that interdependency without feeling threatened or usurped or feeling someone is trying to control them. But I have found it unique in my male and female relationships, like with my ex-husband and with the boyfriends I've tried to have, is that our gender differences make us naturally have more friction in that area. So like me with my busy brain, my boom brain, and wanting to talk and work things out, and him with his, I just want to sit and be quiet and stay in my nothing box. And
right.
and that friction was, and he was very clear about it, and he laughed about it and explained it to me from the beginning. But what do? I keep pushing. Well, I disagree. I think we need to talk about this. Well, I disagree. I don't think you can always just bottle things up and put them in the nothing box. I think you got to take them out and touch them a little bit and move one around and maybe move from that box to this box. And it's just natural gender differences that create the unhappiness and you don't understand me and I don't need you and I don't need your help. And I think communication style, of course, plays into it. And, you know, empathy and compassion and all the skills of the heart where, you know, you need to sometimes subvert or subordinate your own needs
yes.
in order to be a help to another person. Those can be very challenging because what ends up happening, and this is a whole nother podcast, but what happens with helper types, again, is, and again, probably a departure to another topic, is that we give and give and give, but don't give get our needs met.
Right. It's a two-way street. And then I'm a big person on appreciation. And when I experience things and I feel that I'm not getting appreciated like I'm getting appreciation, I can step back quickly because it all boils down to communication. And you said that he was getting better and it was getting there. See, he was making that change. But you and I both know that people, our lives don't want us to change, and it's a frightening thing. So the only thing that can happen, oh, I'm making a change. Oh, I feel differently about it. Oh, let me shut it down because that's all they know to do. So when they shut it down, they have to go think about it. Oh, it always will return. You don't know when. But when the return comes back, how are you feeling? Because you're still thinking of the hurt, the effort that you put out there. That's why I always go back to when you change, it changes. Whichever
right,
way it has
right,
to change.
Right. So, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so I love how we do this. We mind meld. And I actually did have these thoughts on paper, and I'm ready to share them. And you just gave me the segue, Linda. It's a parting thought. So here it is. Value you first and maybe even be open to receiving help. So we're talking about us, the helpers, needing to stop trying to help others when they don't want it and also remembering that we need to change first. And here's the rest of that. So I ask the question, why don't you, and I'm talking to me, when I'm talking to your listeners, but I'm talking to me too. Why don't you value your time more? Now, don't answer that. This is the list. Why don't you value your time more? Why don't you value your time more? Number one, be careful. Here's the list. Be careful to share your gifts with the person who may appreciate them. You just said it. You want to share it with the people who may appreciate them. Here's number two. Before you share, assess if the person is one who may be able to reciprocate.
Yeah.
Growth is a two-way street. You don't want to enter into a relationship where the other person is unable or unwilling to grow and to also help you grow.
Right.
Number three, step back when it's helpful to you, period. So you said it, and I said it again in a in a little bit different words, but we basically were underscoring these main points. Is be careful who you share your gifts with, because you want that to be a person who can appreciate them. Before you before you share those gifts of giving and stuff, assess if the person is also able to give to you, and understand that when you're on this love journey, we're talking about relationships in particular, growth is a two-way street. So why would you enter into a relationship where the other person is unable or unwilling to grow, and perhaps also unwilling or unable to help you grow? And then I guess third, and this is, again, my final lesson to myself, is I need to step back so that I can help me first. Okay. Here's my parting thoughts. How wonderful is it when you, the helper type, finally open yourself up and allow others to help heal and help your heart and soul? How wonderful is it when you stop pouring yourself out and depleting your own well, and you let someone you trust and admire pour into yours? So in essence, this topic today isn't just about valuing your time. It's about valuing you. You are your most precious asset. Value yourself and your time and yourself by doing what brings you joy. And don't overshare your gifts. And know when you limit, know that you should limit your participation, or know when you should limit your participation in a relationship that is too one-sided.
Wow. Wow. I like those parting words. And I'm glad that, and I'm going to have to go and listen. I'm going to send this out to some persons who might be traveling, that we always speak of valuing time and valuing you. But that is why I use the word, Professor Bird, of assessing the arena. That means, you know, with me, I do a lot of community work. So, but I take all lessons learned and all things that I've experienced, I take them as a growth notch. You're growing while you're going through that. And each time it gets better. So when you step off into that next arena, you know what to look for. You know the buzzwords. You know the triggers, okay? Not saying that you're so closed off that you won't participate, but you assess the arena. So when you're learning and you're receiving or whatever, it's all about dialogue. Some people don't talk. They'll just swipe stuff up under the rug. You can't do that with me. Because things need to be brought out and taken care of. But
that's
just
right.
Me. So they don't understand.
And I
thought,
well,
that.
Me too. Me too, Linda. Me too. And I call that confronting. I call that confronting.
Yeah. And people
don't people
like.
And some people don't understand the word. They And they don't understand the word confronting, because they think confronting means confrontational, which means contentious or fighting or bickering or throwing down. And it's not that. Dialogue and confronting means we are talking. Okay? We're talking.
Yes. Yes.
We are talking.
Because I can see. People can see. It's better. I'm going to use this statement. We have eyebrows, but we can't see them. But we know we have them. Others are looking at those eyebrows. Others do not like challenges. you know, or if you point it out. And then what happens in those type of situations, you have to really start assessing yourself and your time. Okay, was this deliberately done? Was that a plot? Was that a test? Nobody has time for that. Or you're speaking with someone and they are spending so much time on trying to figure out why somebody did something. You're wasting your energy. The only way you're going to find that out is go to that person, and I doubt if they don't, they know why they did it, or you'll get the truth about it. But that's the only place that you can go, because that's the only person that can answer that. So why would you waste your energy trying to figure that out? That's wasted energy. That's unhealthy. That adds stress, and I guess you could say that I'm not a nasty person, but I'm a blunt person. So if I pick up on it, I call it what it is. I'm honest, straightforward, very authentic. Some people can take it, and some people can't. But when I find and that's male, female relationships or whatever. So if you are not willing to have dialogue, if you are not willing to take on your responsibility. So you have to take on responsibility for whatever it is. And if you have no appreciation, you will not be around me. Because all of those things, I value not only my time, but myself to get there. So it is valuing you. That was we're going through all of this, but it boils down to you. You make it happen.
Right.
You control it. You're responsible. And when you're getting in different situations, it can be very hurtful. But I can tell you what it does. It thickens you up, and it helps you grow, and you have lessons learned. And each time you experience it, you're better at it, okay? You're learning more about you. You're learning more about people. And you decide what arenas you want to put yourself in, because you must value your time, but more so, you must value you. Now, did I understand you today, Professor Bird? Are we on the same track? Did I get it?
Oh, my gosh. It's sometimes it's like we're two sides of the same brain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because
we are in sync. We are in sync. We are understanding one another, and you always capture beautifully what I think I'm trying to say, and you help make it even more clear and better, because we're about this. I don't know if your listeners know, but we're about the same age, and we have about the same amount of life experience, and we both come from the South, and we just really connected when we met, even though we met in a professional setting, like me, a teacher, and you, the student. We became friends outside of class once the class was over, because we are like soul sisters or something. We really, really do think in our thinking and the way we look at life. And I always learn from you, Linda. I always do, and I really appreciate it. And I guess what I want to take away, too, from what you just said, you know, and this is what's so hard for me with my love relationships, is I know this intellectually. I know that my experience in giving my love and receiving love and going on part of the journey with my traveling companion, I know that each experience is teaching me more about myself. And sometimes love relationships are meant to be for a season or for a reason and not for a lifetime. And I tend to want to make it last, to want to have a partner for a lifetime. And so I think I don't know the answer to that, because I try too hard perhaps, and I haven't learned what I need to learn in order to have that relationship that can take me to the end of my life. And that's what's frustrating, is I feel like I am learning more and I'm growing more, but I'm also learning and making mistakes, different mistakes, in each relationship. And I'm, you know, I'm not even going to call them mistakes. In fact, as a life coach, I've started taking the word mistake out of my vocabulary. I think they aren't mistakes. I think that, in fact, somebody gave me this acronym the other day. They said, think of fail, F-A-I-L. Fail is just, it's not failure. It's this. F is the first. A is attempt, I is in, and L is learning. So fail is just the first attempt in learning. So
yes. It's
I don't feel like these are mistakes. I don't feel like these are failures. I feel like these are me just attempting to learn more about myself and how to be in a love relationship or in a friend relationship, because I'm learning this with my friends as well. And I've been, by the way, wonderfully blessed since I moved to Arkansas in finding new friends and also sort of reestablishing or setting up new terms and exchanges with some of my old friends, people that have been in my life, but not a lot since I moved to California for 30 years. They hadn't been in my life in more recent years, but yet we've reconnected and are sharing meaningful human experiences and changes and, you know, enjoying one another and helping one another. And so, like, again, I'm saying most of those are women. I have really great women friends. And so I think that for me, the challenge is just learning, because I actually prefer, I'm of the persuasion of preferring male company when it comes to love relationships, but I haven't figured out how to make one last, how to help co-create a relationship that is sustaining with a man I love. And so that's kind of where my heart was today is, you know, I do value myself and my time, and I am very good at giving myself the things I need and bringing me joy. But what I'm not good at is finding someone who can share my life with me and, you know, and keep it going where we both are growing and we both are learning together and sharing the most precious gift of life, which is love. Soulmate. And I don't know if this exists. I kind of felt like I was headed that way or that I perhaps had that with this man. I really felt connected to him on so many levels and intellectually, spiritually, in a lot of different ways. But like I said, when push came to shove, there was just a big obstacle in the way where we could, neither one of us could get past it. And I asked for us to get professional help. And he said he didn't need that.
That's not going to work.
What's that?
And I'm not cutting you off, but when you hit on relationships, see, I am the type of person, I love to build relationships, but I also like to keep relationships. I go back, the persons I deal with go back many, many years. I always nurture a relationship. And when I say nurture it, it's like, I might just say, just checking in, how are you, thinking of you. I deal with people that started 10 years back, but you know what I'm finding out?
Yep.
Relationships are not to be kept, okay? We want to build them and keep them because that's where we are. But all relationships are not to be kept. They're there for wherever they are. Can be a hurtful
thing.
Well,
that's what I meant about a season.
Yes.
Some relationships are just for a season.
And a reason. Okay? But I like to keep
a
them.
A season, a reason, or a lifetime.
Back.
Yeah.
Yes. Way back to persons because I love to build relationships. I love to keep them. But I had one lady tell me something, and I'm going to share this because you touched on it, about sitting back and receiving. She said, I'm going to come pick you up and take you to lunch. I said, oh, great. And so we were having lunch. I said, you know, no one ever calls me and say, let me come take you to lunch. She said, you know why? Because you're always taking them. She woke me up real quick.
Aww.
And that was years ago, but I never forgot it.
Yeah.
She said, you know why? Because you always taking them. And I said, bingo, there it is. So I'm at the point, and when you talk about keeping relationships, I make my sister laugh. They love it because my sister and brother-in-law, they've been together about 67 years, right? They look alike.
Yeah.
They think alike. And when they have their anniversary, they say, I say, what year is it now? oh, this is number 67. I say, you know what? I wish I could stay with somebody 67 days. And they just crack up because we're totally, you want that. You need that. But all you have is you. And I'm a firm believer of when you clear it up and clean it up, you're going to pull in just what's there for you. You pull it in because you will attract it. But when I get in, I have friends, I get in relationships, I've been married, so I'm not looking for any of that. But if it happens, I'm going to know the person that lands at my feet, as I say. It's not on a negative way, but that's the way they're going to have to come. That is the one for me because I'm working on me. See, it's all you. You control it. You scale it out. And you want persons to be there to share it with you, but that's not the one that's going to do it. And if it is the one, you'll find out about it. And it can be hurtful. It can be confusing. But it's back to what you said. It is all you, Y-O-U, as the thing that controls everything, you. How you're going to accept, how you're not going to accept, how much energy you're going to use, how much time you're going to use, how long are you willing to dialogue. It's all on you because we have options out there. And because we are caretakers or caring people or helpful people, whatever word you want to say, we want to push it because we don't like to reach out after you and not have it work out. But we have no control of that. All we have control of is us, our feelings, our health, our boundaries. And when it cleans up and when it clears up, it's going to happen, period. I know exactly where you are. I'm so glad to testify that you are sharing this openly as a life coach because we come to you. As you say, you listen. You ask questions. You ask questions. They ask questions. When I say my professor, you are my professor in the classroom, but you're my professor in life, and you will always be Professor Bird to me, no matter what. And it was very, very ironic.
Well, you give me too much credit, Linda, because I think that what we do when we get together, we do this together, and it's you. I learn and always have just as much from you as I feel like I'm teaching you. So you're teaching me, and I'm listening, and I'm taking this in. And actually, this has been a great session because I'm hurting. And
okay.
I needed some coaching today. So
okay. So I'm glad to see how you train, see how your successes come behind you, because I had to today once in my life listen and ask questions. And share. And, you know, I'm a very, I'm kind of shy. I've gotten more open with me than in the past. But we believe in authenticity. We believe in coming real. We believe in dealing where people can understand. I'll give you an example. I had a young lady, and I said, you know, come on show and blah, 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 blah. And the young lady called me and said how much she charged to come on. I said, mm-mm. I said, well, if you're invited on, we work it a different way. I said, but what you do, I can talk about because I've done that too. I said, but why I want you here, because you're an example of when people tell you no, you have shown them that they should have told you yes. That's the only reason why I want you here, as an example to put that out, to encourage and to empower. I don't need you to come on and talk about what you did, because what you do, I did it, and you were probably in diapers, okay? You see where that goes with that? So people have a how can I put it? When you have a gift, when you have something, when you're a teacher, You have to give back. You have to give back. Everything is not monetary. It's not really important. You give back. So although you have a lot of individuals that, you know, gimme, 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 when I do events, I don't believe in volunteers. And it's not that I don't want you there. I want everybody paid because I've been a volunteer for so long. No, they have to have gas money. They have to get there. And there are people like you, myself, we are community people. But if I do an event, everyone that participates must be paid, okay? Even if it might be a small stipend, because they had to get there to me. And it's just like understanding the nature, but that didn't come from anyone or what person. That's coming from me. So I'm stating this to say it's all about you. It's all about your happiness. It's all about the growth.
Yep.
And each time I had someone ask me about, oh, well, you should be more joyful. And I'm saying, what makes you think I'm not? Look at my growth. Isn't that great? Look at me. And you know me. And you know from which I came. They couldn't say anything. All right? So who is to place that joy value, that hurt value? And when we use the word hurt, you have to hurt. When you jab with a spear, why you're being jabbed is so that you can open up and that skin can bleed so it can clean out. Okay? So take those jabs, take that spear, and use it as a stepping point. It doesn't feel good because we work so hard at what we do. But keep in mind, Professor Bird, like you always tell me, it's all about you. When you change, it will change. That's my closing words. That's what I have to say on this wonderful conversation.
No, you're right, and I'm working on changing myself because, I mean, this poor guy, he gave me all of those cues and all of those lessons and just kept saying stop, just you do you, I'll do me, and and I knew there was a problem, but I didn't know how big it was until he actually confessed it, and then it was very courageous of him to confess this problem he had, because it also meant that he knew he was risking losing me.
So
that took a lot of courage. And, you know, and I got to give him credit because now he's going to try to make that change without me.
Yeah.
And so, and maybe that's best. Maybe that's best because I probably wasn't, and we were talking about relationships for a season, I probably wasn't the right person to actually go through that change with him, but I was perhaps the right person to bring him to the point where he felt safe enough to confront his own need for change.
Yes.
Does
and it's all on him. Yes, it does, because he must take responsibility. Take it right back. And when you are taking responsibility, appreciation, you have to appreciate those. When I find out I'm not being appreciated, you don't have to worry about me. I'm gone. And you know why? Because I appreciate myself. Just the effort, just the, so I'm big on appreciation. Yeah. I don't really care about dialogue. I can let you sit and fester in it because I already know you must take responsibility for whatever. It's nobody's fault. And so, and we're so traumatized. We're traumatized at birth. So we have a lot of things that we have to work through. My friend Stephanie comes on. And she talks about taking off a mask. How many masks do you wear? You know, it's a lot of stuff that's down there. So when we experience these things, and no, it doesn't quite seem right, but to open up and talk about it, because others are going through it, they just might not say. You have individuals, my thing is you have individuals that are smiling in your face and jabbing you in the butt with some long spears. So if you're the type of person, if you're the type of person that is aware of that, it's up to you how you want to deal with it. Because is this something I need to learn?
Oh, those are toxic people. Those are toxic people. Those are people who are toxic.
Yeah, they're toxic.
Yeah.
But if you're not a toxic person, don't you think you have to experience some toxicity to recognize it? How you gonna learn about it if you don't?
I had a girlfriend who was my friend for 30 years, and my sister kept saying, "Don't you see her jabbing you? Don't you see that's unhealthy? Don't you see her toxicity?" And I didn't see it. I never saw it because I was so trusting and I was so open, and I must have gotten some payoff from the relationship because I kept going back to it. But then when I got healthier and I began to see that whatever it was, she was cultivating the need for control. And now, now as I'm saying it out loud, I'm thinking, boy, now maybe it's coming back to me, because maybe that's what happened in my relationship with my boyfriend, is that maybe I did the same thing to him that she did to me, where I finally just had to say, stop, stop.
Mm-hmm.
You need to stop, because because when somebody pushes their own need to control or unhealthiness or whatever it is, bad boundaries, what it really is saying is my need to give this to you is greater than my respect for you. And so I felt completely disrespected by this woman. And I kept telling her, I feel like you are disrespecting my boundaries and me. And she wouldn't stop. And, you know, and so now as I'm saying these words out loud, this is, you know, again, this has been like a therapy session for me. But as I'm saying this, I'm realizing that's probably how he felt. Was, you know, I've told you to respect my boundaries and to stop, and you won't. And so now our relationship is over. Goodbye. I'm closing the door. So there you go.
I'm laughing. I'm laughing at it.
Well,
not
it hurts.
Funny.
It hurts.
But now you see how
it hurts,
feel,
a lot.
Right? I know. But guess what?
This is my karma. This is my karma coming back to me.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you know what? Not only you, and I'll state this, because, you know, I like astrology, and I like to understand about the planets, and I like to, I'm not an expert at it, but when we have a lot of things happening out here, when you hear the word retrograde, see, it's about 6 retrogrades moving. And they're moving in from sign to sign. Like now it's in Libra. Then it's going to move into Capricorn. Well, Libra is that justice sign. And so when that planet is moving back, that's when the crap come. And when you mentioned the word karma, all of those individuals that have put that negative karma out there, they're getting ready to get it. Okay? And all you need to do is hold on, because that's the way the cycle goes. So when you mention karma, and when you mention now I see how it feels, and when you say you changed from your girlfriend, that's the example of when you change, it changed, okay? They can't change. You can't change them. They're not even aware of what they're doing. Most people are not aware of what they're doing. Most people, when they get those controlling attitudes or work a certain way, they've never been told about it. Okay? That's what I run into. If you come at me, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to get away from you, but I'm going to let you know about it. And nobody's ever told them before. So that, number one, is a shocking thing. Now, you don't have to wonder about me. I will say I'm leaving the party and tell you why. A lot of people can't do that. They just disassociate or don't call, but I don't want you to waste no energy. This is this and this is that. Well, I'm gone, but maybe I was the one that was there to point it out to you, because evidently nobody ever told you, because if they had, you wouldn't be doing that. So we move a lot of ways. I'm pushy. I'm not pushy. I'm not controlling, because I don't like anybody to control me, but I will tell you what I see. And that's where the problem comes in, because people don't want you to see them. They're too busy hiding up under the mask. But because I don't wear a mask, I'm going to penetrate it and say it and get on out the way. Okay? So get those jabs. Get over. I know it doesn't feel good, because I know how beautiful, and I know where your heart is. I know you're there. He has to realize that. He has to realize it. And maybe he'll return. And at the time when he returns, it's up to you if you want to be there. That's on you. See, we grow as we get those lessons. We grow. So, yes, it is karma. Because what you put out there, you will get it back. It's called cause and effect. So the best thing to do is to put the best causes out there that you can put, so those effects will come back the same way. But what you throw out there, and some of us don't even know what we did when we did it. You just realize what's happened when it comes back. And one thing you don't want, and not for yourself, Professor Bird, just to say it, you do not want a universal beat up. because you do not know where those licks are coming from. So karma is real, and people throw it out there, and they mention it, but cause and effect is the way that karma moves. So I am so glad that you are here sharing this with us, and I had to listen to you, and now I get a chance to say my opinion to you. I love you to death. It's like, we're in sync. We always have been. But that's what this entire show is. Everybody, that it's like many in body and one in mind, because the minds move the same. And when you can connect in with persons such as yourself, your think-alikes, as we always say, then it's going to always gel that way because we move from our heart. We are not scripted. We're not trying to impress anybody. We're just sharing and caring. I always say, if there's only one person out there and we save them from jumping off the bridge, we have done our job. Okay? Wouldn't you say so, Professor Bird?
Yes. Even being able to help one person with one, it doesn't even have to be a big thing. I call them breakthrough moments in my coaching, but it can just be an insight, or it can be words that in that moment are so profound that the way they land on a person, they have this awakening, or they feel jolted alive, or they hear just the thing or feel just the thing that, you know, we're ultimately, as human beings, we're kind of like these robots, we're like machines, and maybe somebody is sparking one of your neurons or one of your something at almost a cellular level that helps you as a human being. And so I like to be open to those from other people who have gifts and want to share them. And I'm hoping that I'll continue to keep finding like-minded people, or as, you know, you and I call them, Linda, we call them the heart people. There are givers and there are takers in the world, and the heart people tend to be givers, but heart people are also very careful about what they will take from another heart person, because they understand that, you know, that if I know what your limits are, I'm not going to take too much because I'm going to give back. And it's vice versa. The other person goes, I'm not going to take too much from you because I know you will always give it to me. So I'm going to give back. And so that's the true exchange when two people are heart people. And not, I told this to us, and he said, not everyone is 100% a heart person all the time. And I said, let me think about that, because I was trying to characterize human beings in different categories. Like, because I believe there are people who, I don't want to call them takers, I just call them the others. There are people who give, and then there are the others. And we as heart people have to continue to stay focused on our own hearts and protecting them, because if we become depleted, if we give too much of our gifts and we give so freely, we will get, you said something, Linda, you said it like beat. How did you say? You don't want a universal beat up. So what you're talking about are those episodic exchanges in the universe, butterfly effect or whatever, where if you put yourself out there and you're vulnerable, you might take some hits and people will keep hitting you. And so you have to protect yourself. The Christians would say, put on the full armor of God. You know, there are lots of expressions for this in the world, that when you are a wholehearted person and you're living and giving your full love in the world, that there will be people who will try to hurt you. And there will be people who will take from you. And so I'm not saying they're evil. I'm not saying this is a fight between good and bad. I'm just saying this is the human experience. And we as human beings have to remember to help one another when we need the help, and to not help when somebody doesn't want your help. And then when you cycle back, and I'm just summarizing because we're coming back full circle to where we started, is that if you're a helper, you have to help yourself first, and you have to be careful about your gifts. And I think we probably need to kind of wrap it up because now we're, an hour and 15 minutes into this. But I thank you so much, Ms. Linda, and as always, and like I said, today was also a session for me because you helped me so much. And when we hang up, I'm probably going to cry a little bit just to get it out.
That's okay. Shed it out.
But I love
it. At least you can cry. And whenever I hear someone saying they cry, when I cry, I have one tear roll down one cheek. I'm not a crier. So when I hear people or see people crying, I get so excited. Oh my gosh, she can cry. I cannot cry.
I cry a lot.
It's a tear of joy. I can cry tears of joy, but I cannot.
I cry tears of pain. No, I cry when it hurts, and I cry a lot.
When the pain comes to me, I don't cry tears. I start throwing tears. So I guess it's best that I don't like pain to come in, okay? Because I deal with it a different way. I'm getting there. Yeah. Professor Bird, I am so glad that you took out time to come and care and share so openly. And I learned from you, you learn. And with us today, it's always been each one teach one. And I hope that, and what I don't hope, I already know that you have to go through what you have to go through. But I will leave with this. When you change, it changes. That's the only way that I can put it. And we have to think about that first and what it means. So everything that we go through, everything that happens, whatever we experience, is nothing but we're in boot camp. You're going to the gym. I call it the gym of life because I can guarantee you when it comes back to you again, you'll spot it and you'll know exactly what to do to it. You won't be. So, yes, we can be pushy, and, yes, we love and we care, and, yes, we want persons to be the best that they can be. That's why my motto is always step in your greatness and stay there, but don't forget to bring somebody with you. But if they don't want to buy an airline ticket, then they don't need to be on the plane, okay? And it took me a long time to get there. So they just don't smell the jet fuel, okay? You try. You reach. You're there. But if they don't want to purchase that ticket, they don't get on that plane. So they're left standing on the platform because your mindset has to be this plane is taking off, okay? And you are the pilot. You have the destination, and you're absolutely correct. Most people don't want you to experience that joy. Most people don't want you to see, but you have to understand. You can't get angry. You can't be upset. When people tell me, so-and-so don't like you, my reply is, how do I expect them to when they don't like themselves? And I keep moving because that's their responsibility. And it's up to them who they like and who they don't like. I'm not trying to be Miss Universe, even though I think I am, but I'm not trying to. Do you understand? So I'm saying hurt, cry, take back and assess the arena. And keep on moving out there. And while you're doing that, as you're clearing it out, can you write down the next topic, please, that we will discuss? I'm going to send you to the journal.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it came up. Yeah, it came up when we were talking, and I said something like, well, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
So when you record, send me the link, and I'll listen back to this, and then I'll work on the next topic.
Please.
It always comes up, and now I've forgotten what it was because I was so caught up in my own emotions
today.
That's okay. So
I want you to
send me the link.
I want you to stay on because this is my closing song, and then when I speak with you, you tell me what you got out of it, and I'll send everything to you. I am
so appreciative.
And I have so much respect, and we had a good time today. This is Life Coach Karen Berg, KarenBerg.com. Check it out. You see she knows how to go two ways. She listens to you. She asks you questions, and she'll allow you to do the same thing. Each one teach one. It takes all of us, Professor Bird and listeners, to make this happen. Love you, and thank you. I'm closing out.
Back at you.
We have to do what we have to do. Here we go.
Showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love.